Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
I think that's part of the reason why we've delayed the start of the season. Campuses will start to fill up starting middle of August, and if there are outbreaks, that it gives an opportunity to settle those down and get under better control. But that's something for the experts. I think that's the advice we received is to give that an opportunity to play itself out and then start the season fresh September 26th.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, July 31st, 2020. Stephen St. John and AP Katie with Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Stan Weber in studio. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you as well. That was Jim Sterk, Mizzou AD, who spoke with the media yesterday. And there's a lot of news now coming out about college football, Stan. And so we'll start there. We've got Chiefs to talk about and some other things to discuss with you. But we now know at least the plan for the SEC. We find this out yesterday, that the SEC presidents and chancellors on Thursday approved a 10-game conference-only football schedule for the fall that begins September 26th. That will include the usual conference slate of 8 league games, which includes 6 divisional foes, 1 permanent cross-divisional foe, and 1 rotating cross-divisional foe. They're going to announce the full schedules, the revamped schedules, at a later date. But that is the plan, a 10-game season. And as a college football fan, boy, that trims out all the fat of some non-con games that are sometimes tough to watch or tough to get up for. 10-game conference-only football schedule is planned for the SEC. What's your reaction to that news, Stan Weber?
Well, there's all kinds of reactions, actually, but I'll start with what you said to segue in. You talked about taking the fat out, and it's exact analogy that I had in my mind, that there's more meat when you look at the 10-game schedule than there is in a normal 12-game schedule for the SEC, because Missouri loses Central Arkansas, Central Michigan, and Louisiana off the schedule. They do lose at BYU, which is legitimate. And Louisiana's a good football team, by the way. I'm not blowing them up. But you're replacing it with 2 SEC teams. And for Missouri, bad news is 2 SEC West teams, the toughest division in the world. So, you know, it's an NFL-type schedule. If you want to be positive about this, you basically have turned college football into the NFL, where there aren't any easy games. It's all league games. So you have probably as much meat, the good players playing with some pressure on them, the most exciting football to watch, there is probably going to be more plays played with the best players really focused this year than any year, because they're playing 10 hard games with little rest. So if you want to look at it in that way, that's a very positive step, I think. Negatively, let me tell you, I know Tim Grunhardt has a son that plays football. I happen to have a son that plays football, and we would have a different viewplane of it, not only from football and coaches and so forth, but just kids. It is hard to be one of the players that get a run out there and be 11 on the field at a time. You have 5 years to play your career, and because of injuries, you're not good enough, you're young, you're inexperienced, all those things. You can't, like, develop at some point and then make a team in the NFL for 5 years. You got 5 years, only 4 to play, that's it. And if you don't play some easier teams and let some of the backups get work, then they lose playing time. They lose development. They lose opportunity. So if your kid's a star quarterback at Mizzou, hey, he's going to play in 10 games probably as much as he was going to play in 12. Who cares? And they're going to be really good games. But if you're a guy working your way up and a third-string running back who should get 3 or 4 carries once in a while, 2 carries, 1 carry, get in. But then you play someone you're better than, you get to play 2 quarters. You know, so the development process, this is like baseball's minor leagues, right? The minor leagues are who's getting ripped off right now.
Mm-hmm.
The freshmen, sophomore, juniors who are working their way up are not going to have as good a development under this. That's the negative. The positive is we got a great meat on the bone type of schedule. It's going to be unbelievably competitive. So it's going to be some good football. Now, the positive, they moved the championship game. The SEC championship game could have been played on, I think, December 5th. They moved it back 2 weeks, December 19th. Again, why would they do that? Let's remember why people are doing some of these things. I don't have all the answers, but some of them I understand. Like flattening the curve was why we stayed at home for a while. Remember? Not to always avoid COVID.
Right.
It was to flatten the curve. I think people have forgotten that. Now, the reason why they moved this back 2 weeks is to have flexibility in a schedule. If for some reason you have a Marlins situation like you do in Major League Baseball where they can't play, you go, that's okay. We got two extra open weeks. We give ourselves time. So they reduced it to 10 games and spread the schedule, lengthened the back end of the schedule to give them some time to adjust. When you only have conference games, you have more flexibility. So that's why they did this. So that's fine. That's a good move. But why they started on September 27th makes no sense to me at all. Because just what I said about having more room and time, they did just the opposite. Instead of starting on September 5th or so when they should have, they said on the 27th. So now they have, for some reason, they want to wait around. And I think that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Missouri played, two or three practices in spring ball, Stephen? Was it? They had two or three.
I have no idea.
Okay. If they would have started 2 weeks earlier, they would have had a ton of spring ball. And then when everyone got wiped out, they would have had that in the bank. I think it's the same thing here. If they shut you down on September 15 because the students come back and COVID takes over and you've got to go to virtual, football ends, I would rather have three games played and not sit there and go, we're waiting till September 27th. And oh, by the way, I do have a kid playing football, just like Tim Grunhart does. And oh, by the way, my kids are at school right now with each other. And what's the greatest risk? I don't think the greatest risk is in the bubble with the NBA or the bubble with the MLS. It's what the Major League Baseball, when they're going back home,
yep,
and they're getting,
yep,
exposed to others.
Yep.
So my kids are in this environment. They are with the football players in this environment. So they're taking the risk. Let them play the games. My opinion is you've already taken the risk. Let's let them play the games. But I think the positive of it, Stephen, is there's going to be a lot of good games when they start playing. The competition level is going to be high when you got SEC against SEC.
It's funny. I actually had a conversation with my wife last night. We plan a little family road trip vacation, just a little short one, just to get out of town here in later August. And when Sporting lost last night, we know now that we have a few weeks. And I came to her and I said, is there any way we could bump this vacation up like to as soon as possible? Could you get that time off? And that's not the case. But the reason I said that was because I'm like you. I'm like, the longer we have to wait for it, the more bad things can happen. Like, I'm just paranoid that somehow we're going to be told we're not allowed to go to Colorado anymore. You know, like, who knows? Like, it just seems like only bad things can happen when you have more time. But Jim Sterk said the reason they're doing it, and I'm not saying it's right, I have no idea. But he's saying that exactly what you said, though, the fear is when all the other kids get to campus, it's going to lead to some outbreaks on the team, and they want to give themselves some time to tamp those outbreaks down before they go play games. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to tamp out 25,000 students' outbreaks. So
it's going to be tough.
I would just say the whole thing is let's give yourself a lot of room to play.
Right.
And I think the Big 12 ought to do what Kansas did. Kansas had a game taken away from them on September 5th against New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. They replaced it with Southern Illinois. They moved it out a week earlier to August.
Right.
K-State just lost a game with Vanderbilt. I hope K-State is calling someone to play, and I hope they play in August. Let's get started. Get just as many games as we can. 1, 2, 3 before they shut it down or make you wait a few weeks or whatever. Stretch it all out and possibly have a chance to have the championship games on December 19th. I think that's a great move to give everybody a little bit more time. ACC's doing it the best, though. They said, we're going to play 10 conference games and give you a little wiggle room to play one non-con. That is better than just 10 conference games. ACC did it the best, and they're starting a week earlier than the SEC. But I think if the Big 12 said 10-plus, or just the Big 12 ought to have some guts. The Big 12 ought to be the alternative. What are the television ratings going to be when Southern Illinois plays Kansas, or anybody, when the SEC's not playing for 3 weeks?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to jump in and take all the TV ratings for your conference?
See, and they're still trying to figure out how to handle media day.
It's only been postponed three times?
Pat 40,
what's your definition?
Pat 40 tweeted, this was the best tweet yesterday from Pat 40 when all this is going on. He said, to drop the cherry atop the chaos Sunday of college football, The Big 12 has canceled its media day scheduled for Monday. The cancellation comes 3.5 hours after the league sent out instructions for how to access the event and 28 hours after announcing it. Unflipping real. So that's
I got those emails, so and I opened one up. I go, right, wow, this is intense. They were telling us, you know, this is the secret way for the media only to get in and stand on your head and hold your hand out to the left and type these numbers real fast. You know, whatever. It was really secretive. Like, You can join the media conference on Monday. I go, okay, wow. Then another one came out and reminded you. And I go, this is intense. Then the third one came, and I go, gosh, am I going to have to give him my firstborn? I mean, what do we need to do to get on? And it goes, canceled. You know, I seriously opened it. Like, I thought, a little bit more detail here. And it goes, canceled. And I go, wait, you just sent me an email like a half hour ago. Talking
like,
about
what I
detail.
Do? What I do? What I get canceled?
Every other conference is like firing off all these, here's our schedule. Here's what we're going to do in the Big 12. What the hell do we do about media day? Wait a minute. No, cancel it. Will you send me? You know, it's like.
We're just not going to do anything.
Or someone sent the email they shouldn't have. I don't know. But there's no media day, I guess. We will take a break. We have Stan Weber back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on this Friday, July 31st, 2020. We've got Stan Weber in studio. We've talked baseball. We just hit a little college football there.
Hey, Steven.
Let's sprinkle in. Yes.
I haven't been canceled, have I? Did Big 12 send out something that I was canceled here? I need to leave the studio.
I haven't checked my email in the last 5 minutes, so maybe I'm not quite sure.
They just tweeted out that hey, Stan Weber's on, and then I'm just afraid that right. You know it turns around and goes, no, he's not.
Hey, you know what though? We can tease the Big 12, and they make themselves a pretty easy target for it. But I just keep going back to everybody's trying to make decisions on things that there's no manual for and nothing's ever been written about. And it's hard, you know, it's a difficult situation. And some of what they do is dependent on what the SEC decides.
I'm actually not blasting the Big 12. I'm laughing at just stuff that happened and whoever produced it is fine. Now, Steven can make fun of the Big 12, but I really wasn't. I'm just talking about real life, how you think something's good for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
But you might come back and an hour later go, oh, it's all changed.
And
that's just the picture. I tweeted out of you, Stan. What do you say about that picture, Nate? Show him to promote your appearance on the show.
I don't know about
this. You've been on a good roll here lately, Stephen. Of tweeting out good pictures of our guests when they come out on the show. And of course, my internet's slowing down here, so I'm
to Stan's nice job, point. Mate. It's like you take a nap, and like if your nap's like 2.5-3 hours long, it's like oh gosh. Right. Like, I look at my phone, and it's like I got 100 text messages and 50 emails. I'm like, oh, great, what happened?
And one guy who called.
Stan, yeah.
And one guy calls, and everybody else tweets and texts. Oh, wow.
Good picture there.
Beautiful picture.
Is that a mascot? Are they allowed? Are we allowed to be that close together and enjoying ourselves?
Not if you're Stan.
Yeah.
Not if you're Jake. Jake does not like mascots.
So. Yeah, he
told me about Stan. You may think that, you know, Jake, I bother him with a phone call once in a while, but we actually do talk once in a while on the phone. So I know it's really a sacrifice for him to do that, and I appreciate it. He'd rather just like text me, but I try not to call during his nap time. There's a lot going on. So anyway.
That's it. 2 a.m. is his nap time. He sleeps for half an hour.
I do have
45 minutes sleep.
You talked about baseball and football, right? That we've gone over that. Can I mix those two real quick, Stephen? Is that okay?
Sure. I was going to play something from Damian Williams, but if you want to hit something.
Do you mind?
Stan, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because one of the neatest things that baseball did, I thought, was to start thinking out of the box and do some adjustments because this is a different season. Okay. One of the big ones that they did, what's one off your mind, Nate? What's one thing that was pretty cool that they did baseball this year?
The overtime rule or the extra innings rule?
Okay, that's
put a guy at second base.
That one's fine. It's like college football overtime. Anything else? Expanded playoffs? I thought that's what you'd say.
Okay, okay.
The DH in the National League.
DH National League. But expanded playoffs, okay?
Love it.
Yeah.
Stay with those words. Expanded playoffs.
Let's do it.
Here's college football's chance, guys.
Yeah.
This is it.
Let's do it.
Why don't they say there is no way you can compare an SEC versus SEC schedule
every
to a Big Ten versus a Big Ten. Every champ this year has to
Love
be
it.
In. Every champ this it's always should have been. But how
exactly.
can you not have it this year? The Pac-12 plays 8 games, 10 games, whatever they end up with.
They're gonna
all
be
we know
screwed.
Is we know there's a team in the Pac-12 that's won their league. That's
right.
all we know.
Right.
How can you possibly say,
I was watching tape, and there's no way they're as good as the second team in the SEC.
But we've always said that, which is silly.
But because you use like those few non-conference games, and you got a 12-game schedule, and statistically you might lose a game. Even Alabama usually loses. Guys, here's my big statement of the day. To be positive, this is the year you've got to expand the playoffs.
Love it.
Just say you're not going to do it forever. Bill Hancock, you live here. I love you. You do a great job. ESPN, please call. Say, we'll pay extra money.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want more football? A minimum of six teams in the playoffs, which it always should be. But why don't we just dabble and say, no, we're not doing it forever. We're just doing it in this unusual year where an SEC team's never going to play anybody but an SEC team. Why shouldn't we have a six-team or eight-team playoff? This is the experience. This is what baseball did for us, said this is not forever, but how about some more games at the end? How about some more games at the end for college football? This could end up being a super fun season when we're sitting here in January or February and finished and go, how did that end up being a great season?
Lord knows they want the money. I mean, the colleges all need the money. They're losing money big time because college football gets some money back. Let's go.
Because you may not have an NCAA tournament next year. You didn't this year.
Right.
So, I don't know, Stephen. That was the last night I finally, when the SEC said we're playing SEC only, I go, finally, there's something creative that should be thought about and could be done. Why can't we have a one-year exception and have more teams in a college football playoff?
Then we could hear everyone bitch and complain about it like they did about baseball for a full week.
I hope this isn't going to be the way it goes every year going forward.
But just think.
What was the best quote that Nate said? Who said?
People are going to like it too much.
I'm afraid people will like this too much.
Right.
And then they'll want to do it every year.
Afraid someone will like something too much in sports.
But you
Why
know what?
Would we want that?
Stan, you and I have been on that for a long time. It's never been right to not have all the conference champions in because everybody plays too different of a schedule. There's not enough of a non-con sample size to really know who the best teams are.
Right.
We all want to see the football, and that's one of the beauties of college football is that every conference is different. They kind of have their own different styles of play and identities. Get every conference champ in. You decide your conference champ how you want. Let's play. This is a perfect. If they can pull it off, I'm off. I love it.
The big emphasis right now with each of these conferences is we are internally looking. We want to figure out who our champion is. That's the most important thing. Those other non-con games, we wish we could have them. But you know what? We really need to play ourselves and find out who our champion is. If there's so much value in that, and there is, that makes college football great, have everyone have access to the playoffs. You have to have at least five playoff teams. So, in my opinion, this week, we opened up that opportunity. We focused on it. The ACC won so far with the 11-game schedule, and they sucked Notre Dame in. They suck Notre Dame in, and they may be able to keep Notre Dame forever as an ACC opponent because of this year. Let's expand the playoffs, six or more, and maybe ESPN and a college football playoff, and the commissioners can all agree, oh, maybe we can do it in 2021 too, and 2022, and we might have got over the hump to finally get a playoff. But at least like baseball, let's do it right now. Do something positive for football fans and college football players. Don't cut their games. Say, at least let's have the best playoff ever.
We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's straight up 7 a.m. on this Friday, July 31st, 2020. The Royals beat the Tigers last night 5-3. The home opener is tonight with Chris Bubich on the mound to make his Major League debut. He has never pitched a A-ball, but he will get his first Major League start tonight against the Chicago White Sox. 7:05 first pitch out at Kauffman Stadium. Dallas Keuchel on the mound for the Chicago White Sox. Sporting Kansas City lost in the quarterfinals to the MLS's back in the MLS's back tournament to Philadelphia 3-1 last night. So they are done for about a month. And the NBA is back as Utah beats the Pelicans and the Lakers hold off the Clippers in the nightcap. Two good games last night to get the NBA started and more games tonight. Now, Damian Williams spoke yesterday after a day after he opted out of the 2020 season. He was on SiriusXM NFL Radio and talked about his reasoning, and he's he doesn't need to do this to anyone, but you know, the Chiefs and the people that he wants to tell, he didn't need to come out and talk about why he's opting out. But I'm kind of glad he did after hearing some of the negativity and some of the dumbass comments on Twitter criticizing Damian Williams. Because what I don't understand is, if you don't know the story and you don't know what's going on in someone's family or someone's personal life, I find it very hard to understand why people would immediately choose to criticize. Everyone has their own reasons for why they might be opting out or why they're handling things that might be in a different way to you, because everyone has a different situation that they're dealing with. And so we find out the reason yesterday why Damian Williams is opting out of the 2020 season. Let's hear the Super Bowl hero, Damian Williams, yesterday talking about this.
For me, it was, you know, just kind of cut, straight, simple, you know, right to it. You know, I'm dealing with a family matter. You know, my mom was just diagnosed with cancer, so, and it's stage 4. So, you know,
yeah,
there was no other, you know, that was my decision. You know, with everything that's going on, and, you know, she was, you know, the only one there for me. You know, I never had the opportunity, you know, to have my dad there. So, you know, my mom is, you know, my rock, my everything. So, you know, during a hard time like this, you know, I think, you know, I should be next to her every step.
Well, that's, yeah, that is great to hear, Damian, and I'm sorry to hear that, number one, and obviously you'll be her rock as well. And as it relates to football, I mean, for you, football becomes on the back burner. There's no doubt about that and what you're dealing with your mother, and maybe just touch on that, because it doesn't sound like it was that hard of a decision for you, because you seem to be a merging piece with the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, yeah, most definitely. It was hard, you know. You know, I sat down, you know, talked to everybody in, you know, my circle, family, and everybody close to me. And, you know, my mom, you know, she just was like, you know, whatever decision, you know, I'm behind you. But at the end of the day, you know, it's hard, you know. Football is my life, you know, especially coming off, you know, a championship and wanting to do a repeat, you know, which, you know, I know they're going to handle that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just something personal, you know, I had to handle.
That was Chiefs running back Damian Williams explaining why he's opting out of the 2020 season. So for the people criticizing him and saying he was selfish and he shouldn't do that to his teammates, anything else that people had to say on social media, I hope that's a good enough reason for you. I hope that satisfies your question as to why Damian Williams is opting out for the 2020 season. And How about we instead of jumping on somebody, just wait to find out exactly what. And I'm not even saying that they have to do this, but just at least have that in your mind that maybe there's a really, really good reason that's way more important than football why some of these guys are making this decision. And I would guess that nobody will have anything critical to say about Damian Williams and why he's making this decision. Nate, Stan?
Well, first of all, you know, prayers and thoughts out for his mom and what he's going through. Gosh, she's his rock, and stage 4 cancer. That could even be a non-COVID statement. He could be saying, I'm staying home, and the NFL could be just in the most normal year ever. But this is easy for me. I try to respect everyone's opinion, and man, the range is wide now. But I just have no problem with anybody who chooses not to get involved in activities. It's in anything. If you just say, I'm not going to go to the store, I'm going to have all my food delivered to my front door, that's fine. I mean, there's no level of safety that's too safe for you. You don't have to have a reason. It could be you. You don't have to have a backstory. Here, this is great that we hear his backstory. It clarifies a lot of things, Stephen. You're exactly right. But it didn't change my attitude at all, because when he said he did not want to play, I have no problem with it. And I think one thing we need to take into account, I mentioned this last week, and I said, well, I may be too radical, but when players decide not to play, I'm totally comfortable with that for any reason, safety or whatever. But when they choose not to play, this is a game where you get paid for delivering your skills, those unique skills. You shouldn't get paid very much. I said, yo, give him $50,000 this year. Give him $100,000. That's plenty of money to live on. You didn't come and play in the NFL, etc. Well, guess what? I don't know if you've sorted this out and split all the hairs, but if a player decides to sit out, they're getting paid zero. Don't say they're getting paid $150,000 because that's not right.
It's an advance.
It's an advance of next year's salary.
Yep.
They're getting zero this year. They're just getting some money to be able to pay their bills and so forth, but they're not getting paid for this year. They're not getting service time. They're just putting their life, their football life, on hold. That's more radical than what I said last week. I thought I was going to give them $50,000 to be nice. Mm-hmm. But this is really, the NFL does so many things well. I just laugh at the Twitter war or the Twitter explosion two Sundays ago when the NFL players tried to embarrass the NFL and say they don't know what they're doing. They're not ready for us to come in. They haven't talked to us enough. And then the next day, everything calmed down. 3 days later, everything's fine. And now all the players are saying what? This is so safe. It's so well done. There was never a doubt in my mind. The NFL does things so smart. They're the one league that's going to get this done, be the safest, do the smartest things. And here's another example. He is getting $150,000 because he chose not to play, advanced against his next year's pay, and he doesn't get service time. He's taking a giant sacrifice monetarily and football-wise and everything else. So, and he didn't need to take a big sacrifice for me to just say, that's fine. You don't need to play. You have every right to not play. I just see no criticism of a player like him or anyone else. But I do think, guys, I do think this, and you guys may disagree with me on this, how many guys are reporting at each team right now?
Gosh, is it 80?
80. Yeah. 80 guys are reporting, okay? How many players, my last count, I don't know, I took a nap last night, so it could be 422 players have opted out. You know, I know two Chiefs did.
It was 30 as of yesterday morning.
Yeah. That is about, there's 32 teams. So very simple, that's about less than one per 80 chose to not play so far. Why are we making this a big deal, acting like, oh, these players are so scared, the whole NFL, what are we doing sending those guys out there? That's a low percentage. That is a very low percentage. Hightower's a great player for New England. Williams is a Super Bowl running back who makes plays, and you know, you'd love to have him. LDT's a doctor, you know. Yeah, you'd love to have all those players. But we're talking about 30 in the whole NFL. It's really just a footnote. Move on. We have a bunch of players who want to play. And, oh, by the way, I will say this. For the guys who said that I'm not going to report, I don't know if the NFL ruled. You guys may have read this. If you say you're opting out, are you opting out and you have no chance of coming back? Or can you, in week 9, go, you know what? You guys had an injury at my position. Will you allow me to come back? Can you come back later in the year? I don't know the answer, but I propose to you that we're going to have some of those people wanting to come back when they find out their life situation is a little different, or they really enjoy playing in the NFL, or they want to get paid. You know what I'm saying? I think some of these guys could end up coming back and playing. But my main point is, we are emphasizing the 30, acting like we have a major news item, and I think we have a minor news item. Hardly anybody's not showing up in the NFL.
It probably becomes a major news item because it's all new. You know, we're not used to seeing a player the caliber of Hightower or even Damian Williams just say, I'm not going to play this year because it's all new
stuff.
But
they could retire. Sometimes these guys retire. You don't know
Gronk
why.
Did it. You know, Gronk
right. Hey,
away.
I'm just done.
We've had
why
guys
are you
do
done?
That. Yeah.
Whatever.
To go back to what Steven said, I think we're all in agreement there is that no one really owes you an explanation. It's his life. It's his career. And he's choosing, you know, one of the things we talked about is, you know, this exists in every sport, and it exists in a lot of American society, is the Wally Pipp syndrome that we always talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Damian Williams is aware of the fact that the Chiefs drafted a running back in the first round. He's given that job. He's given his job.
Brett Veach ought to go to the lottery. He's either the smartest human being in the history of mankind, or Andy Reid is with the puppet strings. I don't believe that, but you know, people used to joke about that it's all Andy Reid.
Yeah.
He's either the most brilliant guy or the... Brett Veach or Patrick Mahomes, who has better luck with everything going right? I'm not sure, but they draft a running back in the first round, take all kinds of criticism, and now you're going, oh, Damian Williams isn't available. What a great choice.
Yeah. I mean, so Damian Williams doesn't owe, I mean, even that explanation should quiet everyone, but he didn't owe anyone an explanation anyway because he knows he might have just given his job away. You know, and there's no, in the NFL, not for long, you don't have any guarantee that that job's going to be back at the same level or anything when you do decide to come back. He's already making a very difficult decision after he just earned the starting job on a Super Bowl caliber team. So, but you know what? Everybody kind of has a tendency to think about themselves. And if you're a fan, all you think about is, well, that guy's letting me down because he's not playing. And that's part of human nature. I do want to grandstand on one thing. Allow me a second, Stephen, and Stan, because my Big Step, our Big Steps Foundation, in honor of my buddy Sean Biggs from Abilene, Kansas, that died of cancer 9 years ago, we raise money every year for cancer-related causes. And this year, one of the things I've been doing a lot, we're trying to figure out how we're going to do a virtual race in October now. And I've been on the phone with the guys at the KU Cancer Center a lot, exactly what Damian Williams is dealing with right now. One of the populations in our country, in the world, that is most at risk are people battling cancer, right? Their immune systems are compromised. And here's the thing. They're going to try to stay in their houses. They're going to try to stay away from contact as much as possible. But sometimes they got to go into the hospital, get treatment. They still have to go to the cancer center sometimes and things like that. So these cancer centers are getting a lot of added expenses and a lot of extra things they have to do to make sure that their hospital is sanitized, to make sure that all of their employees are being tested on a regular basis so that none of their cancer patients are getting exposed when they go in. And so one of the things we're doing at Big Steps this year, we're going to really try hard to raise as much money as possible for the KU Cancer Center, where Bill Snyder was treated, to help defer the costs that they have incurred because they didn't have that in the budget beforehand. They weren't just assuming, well, hey,
haven't printed money, by the way, because you might think, Well, hospitals are rich. This is the worst year in hospital economics ever because they've got ready for COVID and took away elective surgery opportunities.
Yep.
They are losing their butts financially.
Yeah.
And they got these extra costs and everybody's worn out because they're working so hard. It is a crazy situation. So, it's a great point you bring up, and hopefully people will be able to give. And and if you ever
support
wonder, like,
where's
my money going? Because sometimes cancer research is really vague. Well, like, what does that mean? But here you got very direct issues where you know your money's going to go for very good causes today.
Yeah. Bigsteps.org if you want to support us.
Before we get too far away from this, Jake is the person that this resonates with more than anyone. I would like to give him the opportunity to talk about this because this – you went through this. When you hear Damian Williams talking about this, you know better than anyone else exactly what he's talking about. And so, Jake, just your I'd like to get your reaction, if you don't mind, to what Damian Williams had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate in the sense that my mom passed of cancer, and she had stage 4 cancer. I mean, she had cancer 3 different times in her life before I was born, and then when I was about 11 years old, she had breast cancer, and then it came back when I was about 23, 24 years old. But yeah, I'm be honest, I have a lot of admiration for Damian Williams, but I'm right in line and step with him. I mean, when I found out my mom's cancer returned, I moved back home. I moved back home with my mom and dad. I was, you know, living with some buddies and living like a 24-year-old, right? But I knew that that was going to be a lot on my dad, and I knew that it wasn't, I didn't even think about it. I just did it. It was a natural reaction for me in that moment. And I assume that Damian Williams didn't have to put a whole lot of thought into it. I'm sure he thought about it because, look, me at 24, just out of college, working for my dad, being an intern here at the radio station, right? That's different than a professional football player in this aspect that his career as a football player is so small. It's such a post-it stamp in his life where I was working on developing a career. And I could still do my career and still make that adjustment in my life and make that commitment to move home and be with my family and be the support that my dad and my mother needed. So in that aspect, it is different, but for me, it was a no-brainer. And I imagine for him, as he said, that she was his rock. What an awesome opportunity for him, and I say that in the means that everything that she's done for him, he's going to be allowed to pay some of that forward. And there's a lot of value in that for him as a person as he moves forward in his life. These moments, I mean, in terms of saying I'm not playing football, and then he looks at what he has in front of him, Man, I don't regret any moments that I had with my mom at this time, even when she was sick, even when I was dealing with her at her worst. I was thinking about a moment yesterday where my mom was so dehydrated and she couldn't convey her words. And I was sitting there looking at my mom and she was helpless because she couldn't tell me what she wanted to say. And that's not something I look back and say, what a horrible moment in my life. It's just a moment that I had with my mom. And if I wasn't living at home, I wouldn't have had that moment. And so it's like he has this opportunity now to make memories with his mom, good or bad, indifferent. It doesn't matter. They're still memories, and he's going to make them. And he's going to be able to support his mom and not look back at this and say, you know, why I should have not played, right? That won't be a regret in his life. He won't have to, you know, that what if that we all live with, we all have those what if moments. The reality of, for him, is that he won't have a what if I wouldn't have played football and had those moments with my mom. He won't be living with that what if. He's gonna be able to give everything he has for probably the person he loves the most. At least one of the people he loves the most. Obviously, his actions are saying that by saying, I'm going to step away from all this money, all this fame, going after the history that you would make at repeating as a Super Bowl champion, to be a part of that. He's giving up that opportunity. Man, what a statement, you know, what a statement of love for that man. And I admire him. And I think that's, that's an admirable action from Damian Williams, and it's I applaud him.
Thank you very much, Jake, for, I know it's not always easy for you to talk about that, but you give us a different perspective, and it is very powerful. And again, you said it very well. You said it better than I could have said. And so he did not have to. None of these players have to give their reasons, but I'm glad that Damian Williams opened up and shared that, and hopefully that will allow people to have just a little bit of pause before they criticize anyone for making a decision like this. Because, like we said before, there a lot of things are far more important than sports, and one of those things is family. And Damian Williams, that's why he made this decision. Let's take a break. We will be back with more from Stan Weber, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with Jake Gutierrez and Stan Weber is in studio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly do appreciate it. Stan, I was looking through some sound early this morning, trying to find some things that you might like to hear about or talk about. And I know that you like, I don't know if there's anyone, I shouldn't say like, that loves college football more than you. And so I saw that we had some clips. Do you like Phil Steele? What's your opinion of Phil Steele? I feel like every college football fan loves Phil Steele.
Well, because they all love Phil, I have no problem with him. I just haven't studied them. I haven't studied him that much. His book that he puts out used to be Legend. I don't think that's necessarily true because they don't do it that way, right? He updates things. But I really haven't heard him speak on the radio. So I know he does interviews. I haven't heard him. So I don't have a great opinion either way. Anybody who's that intense about it and wants to talk about college football, I'm sure if I had a chance to know more about him, I'd really like him.
Right. The idea is just you love, I saw some Phil Steele comments about college football, and I thought that we could play those
okay.
And get your reaction to what he has to say. So here is ESPN college football writer Phil Steele, and the first clip here, he was asked, would spring football be such a bad thing?
Major problems. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a lot of the key players. You know, look at Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne. They're not playing.
Yeah.
All the top teams would lose the majority of their top players. Plus, how do you play a season in the spring, then only give the players a month or two off to recover, and then put them right back at it again in the fall? I think you'd be hurting two football seasons. I really believe, though, Jim, that we are playing football in the fall this year. Even if it's conference only,
sure.
I'm excited.
What about what he said about spring, the possibility of spring football?
Basically, don't agree with him. First of all, let's talk about the last thing he said. How could you possibly play in the spring and come back in the fall? We play spring football. It's the most physical. What did you say about Peter Vermes? Okay, I know you want to do the soccer, Bill. I know he's been wondering, is he going to do the soccer
Stan,
for a month?
Stan just set me up for a soccer talk.
Stan, he really doesn't. They lost 3-1 last night.
I know,
he really
but
isn't looking for that.
I said the players wish there were games because you know? Because training's going to be harder without games.
Stan,
I
don't. You're digging in on him, Stan. This may be not the morning.
I'm sorry. I
soccer siren for Nate.
Steven, without you here. And because, you know, this is kind of a COVID statement. The physical contact and being around people is just something that's pretty cool. And I'm here with Nate, and I bring up soccer more than I don't ever bring up soccer in any time of my life.
This pandemic's
I don't
making
care
some
about
weird
soccer.
Things happen.
I don't ever think about soccer.
Threaten you
and I come in
breaks.
Here. And I come in here, and I'm always making nice setting up. Nate, it's like a great respect level. It's if he were on a phone. If I were on the phone and he weren't here, I wouldn't bring this up, you know. But here he is in my presence. But Peter Vermes, I heard you say something very logical. The old Sporting Kansas City team doesn't have to play for a month or so, right?
Yep.
And they get to come back and work out.
Yep.
And what do you think that means to the players?
Not good.
Not good. They're going to get killed.
Yep.
Worse than if they were in season.
Yep.
Welcome to spring football.
Yep.
Okay? So we've been getting pummeled, as Andy Reid would say.
Yep. That's right.
Pummeled. The worst time of football is in the spring because the coaches know there's no game. There's nothing slowing them down. There's a Peter Vermes the next month. These players are going to pay for it. We have been playing spring football forever, and we've been getting pummeled out there.
Everybody here, if I get pummeled on who's here and not here, we'll just do the one.
I blew out my knee in the spring, okay? Not in the fall.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, spring football is so overrated. It's just coaches need to get out there and have some fun. You don't get that much better in the spring, okay? You don't. It's not worth the injuries you take, the pounding you get.
Pummeled.
Especially if you're a starter. You know, okay. So everyone who says, we can't play in the spring and ask these poor gentlemen to get out there and play the next September. Oh, they spend their whole life training for this.
Whose voice is that, Stan? Who are
I
you?
Don't know. I'm just so tired of this. I'm so tired of
Phil Steele?
I haven't heard Phil Steele. That's the first time I ever heard him. And I don't like. I'm not. I don't respect him as much as everyone else now. But that's unfair. Just because I just heard him. Okay.
This is what I want.
Yes. This is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. No one wants to play in the spring. Football's fall. Let's do it. But we've been getting pounded on in the spring forever and bouncing back. Football coaches. Football teams, they're student-athletes. I'm not saying that they're employees, but because they want to do it, there are plenty of walk-ons who don't get paid a dime who want to do it. There are plenty of people who want to play and are willing to do it, but they basically make them work out as many of the 365 days as they possibly can, okay? As many as they can. They'll get them there every day of the summer, except for like a week or two after finals. They work out all the time. They want to play games. Okay, so that is the fallacy of all fallacies. You can play spring football. Now, Trevor Lawrence. Everyone says there's no way Trevor Lawrence is going to play. No way. Well, there's Major League Baseball players who are pitching in college baseball, while they're being drafted. You know the season's still going on in college baseball.
Yep. Yep.
Then they get drafted. Then they go to the pros. Under this philosophy, no way would a player who knows he's major league ready, a first-round pick, why would a first-round pick ever play for Vanderbilt or Florida or KU baseball? Why would they ever under this philosophy? Because they're going to be drafted while the baseball season's going. Well, Trevor Lawrence may not. His agent may say not. But guess what? Don't tell me every player doesn't want to advance his draft position. Tell me every player does. Some people don't want to just compete. So that's issue. But here's my biggest one. The biggest one in bold letters. When ESPN turns on and when Phil Steele talks about, he talks about two of the greatest players in the country at Clemson. They act like college football is played for the college football playoff. Okay, they want to talk about the four teams that are going to make the playoffs, should be eight. Go listen to the podcast. We'll tell you why earlier in the show. Okay, if you're new to the show, we made a great case about this. But they only talk about like the four or five greatest teams with the four or five greatest players. And act like, and every time I turn on ESPN, you got an ex-NFL player, right? An ex-NFL player who is a great college player who's an expert. And all they do is sit there and go,
Well, if I were, if it were the fall, if we had to play in the spring, there's no way I'd play because I don't want to lose my draft position. And every player is playing to get to the NFL. Every kid on a college campus, his dream is to play in the NFL. That is the biggest bunch of BS I've ever heard. 95% of the players know they're never going to play in the NFL. This is not the minor leagues. They're playing for college football. Shut up about who isn't going to play. College football at KU is not for the one guy every other year that might be an NFL player. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Mizzou doesn't, K-State, we don't produce that many NFL players. College football is for college kids who want to play football. So I don't care if Trevor Lawrence sits out.
Right.
It does not matter. Why are we talking about the 0.5% of players instead of the 99.5, and that's all ESPN does? And that's what Phil Steele just did. So I disagree with him on these statements completely.
Hey Jake, by the way, the decision that we're discussing whether or not to play some Phil Steele for Stan Weber, it was a good decision.
Yeah, I give it a ding.
That was so that worked out to be a thumbs up.
That was awesome.
I've got more for him when.
So you poked me, and I poked Nate about a 3-1.
Nate, you poked somebody. It's your turn.
Well, I'll just
don't be poking
my
me.
Answer to this
poke
is
Jake.
Beggars can't be choosers. I'm a beggar when it comes to watching sports right now. I just want to see sports. So if I'm going to sit here and go, well, it's not good enough for me because Trevor Lawrence isn't playing. You know what? I just want to see some.
Whose voice is that?
Yeah. That's
who's
me. That's me complaining. That's me.
I'm looking in the studio and I see two people in there talking.
We're all doing voices of the people we don't
I'm
like.
Sorry,
right now.
You don't like.
I'm not there, guys. I don't even know who the hell I'm talking to anymore.
I'm all for it.
I guess I shouldn't be using different voices.
No, I didn't even know that was my different voice.
Yeah,
they always get on me for this.
Spring is not preferable to the fall. Okay. Duh, duh, duh. But if you play the season and the SEC starting late only gets four games done, okay, let's play the other six in the spring. That we should play the fall until we get blown up, which we are likely to do, and then go to the spring and finish it off. And oh, the poor little players will be just fine the next fall. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's not my preference, but again, beggars can't be choosers. We want to see college football, and it's not going to be in the perfect, ideal form that we all want to see it. It's still going to be better than not having it, and that's where
how about this, Phil Steele? How about you're not able to play right now in front of what in Manhattan? They said Riley County is going to allow 2,000 people. Okay, let's say K-State plays some games with 2,000 people, or they have to get canceled and play just as many games. I want to play just as many in the spring in front of 32,000 people. Which is better?
If Trevor Lawrence isn't there, it's not good.
Yeah, those few guys who want to be in the NFL and know they're a first round pick and are already illegally talking to their agents.
What's going on right now?
Play some more Phil Steele, Stephen.
Oh, okay. Let's see what Stan says about this. We got two more comments from Phil Steele from his appearance yesterday on ESPN. Here he was asked, who takes the biggest hit with conference-only schedules?
I think the conference I feel most sorry for in this conference-only era of this year is the Pac-12 because they're not going to have a chance to prove it on the field outside of conference play.
Pac-12 second-rate all the way around. Nate cares about sports out in the West Coast. They don't care about sports. But
that is true. I went to UCLA-Stanford game and saw Christian McCaffrey play, and it was such a completely different experience than going to a Big 12 game. Everybody was just kind of there to hang out. It was just it's a nice night outside. We'll drink some wine and hang out and watch a game. Like, it was not a college football atmosphere like you have in the Big 12 or the SEC.
To be fair, if you want to use an average of every team, the Pac-12 may be as good a conference as anybody but the SEC. Because they really don't have awful, awful teams. They are all in the middle, but their great teams are not great anymore. Now that Oregon cycled through, UCLA, USC aren't, Washington's not. They don't have the elite teams. You know, their best teams, maybe the 10th best team in the country, maybe the 15th or 20th best team in the country. So that's just under the normal schedule. And they're losing respect. That's what hurts you because it's a beauty contest. You mentioned this off the air. If you're only going to play four playoff teams and you have five conference winners, it's always going to be about the beauty contest. And right now, the Pac-12 has no love. Everyone just assumes their champion's worse because of the last 2 years they haven't been in the playoffs. Well, that's unfair, but it does come in. We are humans making these choices. So maybe the Pac-12 may be hurt by this, but you know, I don't know what the question was, which big conference
The conference that gets hurt is like the Mid-America Conference. The conferences that are playing Division I football at a pretty darn high level and aren't getting pay-in games to come play the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their athletic department is getting just is so affected because I don't want to use that too. Andy Reid, I apologize for using your word.
That's a good word.
I used a different voice when I used it, Andy, so maybe it didn't count.
Pummeled.
So go in one more time with Phil Seals.
So the guys like Louisiana and teams like that who aren't going to get to come and play the game against Missouri, they're going to lose a lot of money. So they're hurt the worst.
And this is the final one, Phil Steele was asked about the impact of a conference-only schedule.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think it impacts it too much because the conference play is what everybody's geared for. And, you know, for years people have been screaming, how come the SEC can't play more games? Go to a 9 or a 10-game schedule. How about a 10-game SEC schedule? How about a 10-game ACC schedule? I think that those are ideal for college football. And, you know, Nick Saban said a couple years ago, he says, why don't all the Power 5 teams just play Power 5 teams? Hey, look what we're doing this year.
Yes.
Dan Weber.
That more meat on the bone, like we talked about. There will be higher quality games. That's a positive. Maybe we'll go to a 10-game conference schedule, more of an NFL-like thing, and then still have two non-conference games. Why? You can still play 12. Cross-country games are pretty cool. Maybe having a game against an easier team gives them a lot of money to keep all the sports going together. I have no problem with more conference games. I think the SEC should match the other conferences and play 9 out of 12. So we're getting quality football. This is good. I think that I'm ready for us to just separate and have 65 to 80 schools separate from the NCAA model and say we're for football first and go, we're going to play each other only. And here we go. And let's have 8 champions of some type. If you divide it by 8s, hopefully you divide it by 8 to 64. And hopefully it ends up being about like the Big 8. Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, Kansas State, all playing in the same conference. Just because you've blown up conferences and now you got kind of a regionalization of it, hopefully. But we need to get to 18 playoffs, have more standardization. And it would also work for the NCAA tournament as well. They could get more money. And I know I love the stories about the other schools. I love that about the NCAA tournament. But still, they would not take a discount if they had the great teams playing in the tournament. So I'm comfortable with what he's saying. I'm trying to find positive out of this, and I think there are going to be more games that are very interesting played in college football if we get to play the whole season.
That 65-team league or whatever it is, to me, makes a lot of sense. One of the things that has annoyed me about college football is there's a misnomer. It's division, you know, it's FBS and FCS, right? And FBS claims it's all the same division. But it's really not, because if you're Central Florida and you go undefeated, you don't get a chance to play for the championship. So you're really in a different division. You're in the Power 5, and then you're in the non-Power 5. Those are two different divisions the way we have it set up right now. And I'm not claiming that UCF would have gone on and won the thing, but if you're in the division and you go undefeated, in every other sport in the world, you actually get a chance. Somebody has to beat you at some point in time, or else you get a chance to win a championship.
Oh, we're talking about the playoff again.
Exactly.
There should be one school who's not in the A5, the Power 5, into the tournament every year. They deserve their chance, even if they're not undefeated. Even if they're 10-2, just go ahead and put them in there and give them a chance. Give them an entree to play the big, big boys. Get a conference champion of all the Power 5 automatic bids, and there's your 6-team tournament. You have to have at least 6. And
but
if you didn't hear me earlier today, optimistic idea is, like Major League Baseball, who expanded to 16 teams for this year in the playoffs, college football ought to expand so that all conference champions are in the big conferences, and we have a 6 or 8-team playoff for this year only. And let's see how the world likes it. ESPN, college football playoff, the conferences, the money, the fans. Let's just do it for COVID reasons only. Yeah. I mean, we got a designated hitter in the National League. I mean, how many people are turning over in their graves right now?
Oh, let me tell you, there's so many people that are pissed off about that, and I love it. Because it's just, you know, people are so resistant to change, like especially when it comes to sports.
And I don't like. I don't have a problem. I love the expanded playoffs for this season, and I think it's great that they have the DH in both leagues. I was lukewarm about the new extra inning rule, but it was I liked it. The first, I mean, of course, the Royals won. I probably would have been very angry had they lost, but I see how it makes the game more exciting, and I understand that it's not the baseball that we're used to now. That the latest. You know, to try to play as many games as possible, they're going to go to seven-inning doubleheaders, or both games of the doubleheader will be seven innings, and people are mad about that. But it seems like they are making it up as they go along because they've never had to do anything like this before. And they all are also trying to be creative and trying to give us as much baseball as possible, which I understand and I appreciate. But I'm with you. If you have an opportunity in a unique situation to try something different that could add excitement, kind of like a test drive, I'm all for it, especially in this unique season of sports that we're about to watch.
And we got the logic. It's not just, okay, I'm excited about the playoff. I like, you know, the entree of getting a look at it. But just if you've been against the playoffs all the time and you love the bowl games and you know what the bowl games have done for college football and you know how exciting it is for kids to go to bowl games, I'm a fan of all those things, okay? We'll hear all those. This year it's not true. Are those bowls really going to be played? Are they really going to have a chance to take a whole team into a major city for a week and do all kinds of activities? Unlikely. And guess what? No SEC team is going to play anybody but the SEC. No Big Ten team is going to play anybody but a Big Ten. No Pac-12, same thing. You cannot say that you have any points of reference to say that this conference champion is different than that. This is the year for fairness. You just say, because of COVID, because of the decisions that were made, conference only, we're just going to have to accept your conference champion. And I don't care if you play dice to tell us who your team is, or you have a championship game, or whatever you do, doesn't matter. Just tell us, who do you want to be your representative from your conference, and let's go play football. And if the committee goes, but we won't have anything to do, make it an 8-team playoff, and guess what? You can pick two teams and still have a lot of good work to do. Bill Hancock lives in Kansas City. He is a great person. He is such a great person that when he sticks up for college football playoff, not having an expanded playoff, when he does that, I want you to understand, that's not because it's in his heart and it's the only option in his heart. He represents his organization better than anybody has in history. He knows it's the college football commissioners and presidents who decide this. He's just carrying their message. He is not a dictator. So when he said there should be no 4-team playoff, he was the best at saying it until they changed. And now he's the best at saying 4 instead of more. He's eloquent at doing it. He's an honest, good guy. But you know what? He's paid to listen to what the herded cats have come up with a conclusion. And then he has to sell it to everybody else. It's his job. He does it well. He's telling you accurate information. But as soon as they tell him, hey, Bill, how about we go to 8 this year? He'll be the most eloquent of saying why we should have 8 right now. So the guy does his job awesome. He's an awesome human being. But I want them to say to him, let's go to 8, buddy. Let's do it for 1 year only, 2020. And then we'll worry about 2021 later.
Yep.
You okay with that, Stephen?
Oh, yeah. I wish I had more Phil Steele comments to play.
That was good. 3,
but it was worth it. 3 was better than...
You guys are really good at this job of like pushing the buttons, right, of all your guests. And I was I'm complimenting Nate, and they're saying I'm doing the same thing. So,
I mean...
Nate, it might have been the last game the MLS plays this year.
Yeah.
Have you thought about that?
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I've thought about it.
Jake's laughing on that one.
But I will tell you this: I'm more hopeful. We've talked about this, and I know we got a break. Actually, what's happening in baseball in the weirdest way has actually made me more optimistic, because as much of a disaster as the thing is with the Marlins, they're still playing. The Royals still played a game last night, even while that disaster was going on.
Keep the train rolling, just because. And we talked about this. What they ought to say about colleges or NFL teams, especially NFL teams. They ought to say, you know what, if you get sick like the Marlins did and you can't show up for the game, forfeit. And if you can say your team gets paid half as much as they should have been paid or zero,
you lose your game check.
What do you think those guys are going to do when they go home now?
It's going to change the behavior for sure.
Because the risk isn't at the facility. The risk isn't at the facility. It's going back into real life. And so how do we keep the NFL players in check and as dedicated to wanting to play and keeping it safe like they are in a bubble? How about you say, if you get sick and you can't play this Sunday, the rest of the NFL is going to have their games. There'll be nothing worse than you sitting there watching this weekend's game and not being able to play. And if you want a little bit more, take some money away from them. Fine everybody $20,000 or say you don't get paid for this game check. And then see how the internal locker room works. About
that's some peer pressure right there. Yeah. You don't want to take somebody else's paycheck, game check away.
You talk about Zoom calls. They're going to have Zoom calls with each other saying, show me where you are right now. Show me where you are. Are you in your house? Yeah. Who's in your house?
You don't want to take Honey Badger's paycheck away. That's an uncomfortable conversation to have in the locker room the next day. So
right. Yeah. Yep. So you're right. Baseball's decided we're going to roll. Let's go. And if you get sick and you can't play, that is your problem. Marlins, you don't think Marlins want to play right now? How painful is it for them to watch the games on TV?
But you pointed out more than anything. One of the things this thing has taught me is I will never, and I don't think I ever did, but I will never take the opportunity to call a game for granted. I don't assume that I get to call any games. Every game is like, yes, I get to call a game today, and I hope I get to call some in the regular season coming up, and I think that you're probably feeling the exact same way right now.
I feel good about the NFL, and I hope Patrick Mahomes continues to play well enough that even the NFL players will think that he's the best player in the National Football League rather than the fourth best player.
Stan Weber, thank you so much for the time. We will talk to you next week.
Great talking to you, Stephen. Have a great weekend.
You do the same thing. That's Stan Weber, who joins us every Friday. Jeff Penner filling in for a vacationing Gary Lezek up next with the weather on WHB.